Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 10th day of November, year 2021. I'm Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is The Way It Could Be. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai in one part of the country and Sitmai in the other half. Kumri Ambeth. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted at upon entering the call. And then as you indicate to me you wish to speak, we take everybody in the order that they're given. We do keep the Daily Mail page on the website, PastorDan.net, as up to date as we can. And again, Pastor Dan is with no spaces, PastorDan.net. And also, we've revised the homepage to help folks that wish to help us out with a donation. So now there's more than just one way you can do that. And I do apologize. I had a little trouble getting in today, so there may be some trouble for some of the other folks trying to log on tonight as well. I had to go through a rather lengthy workaround to try to log in because the normal login method did not work. It told me that my password had changed, but my password has not changed. So more goofy things happening in the electronics world between phones and computers and different things like that. I don't know if it's by design or if it's by the enemy up to tricks. Who knows? But again, today we talked about, Ralph says, I'm totally in Malachi 4 mood tonight. Absolutely. Malachi chapter 4. In fact, before we get into the way it could be, maybe we should go to Malachi and just refresh our memories with that. It's the last, well, it depends on which version of the Bible. If you have some of the other Bibles like the Jerusalem Bible and many of the other ones like George Lampe's edition, etc., they got the books of the Apocrypha in there, etc. But the standard so-called Bibles do not go past Malachi. So last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. For see, the day is coming, it is burning like an oven. All the men of pride and all who do evil will be dry stems of grass. And in the day which is coming, they will be burned up, says the Lord of armies, till they have not a root or a branch, meaning their entire lineage has been wiped out. But to you who give worship to my name, the Son of Righteousness will come up with new life in its wings, and you will go out playing like young oxen full of food. Some versions, of course, have lambs of the stall or calves of the stall. And the evildoers will be crushed under you. They will be dust under your feet in the day when I do my work, says the Lord of armies. Keep in mind the law of Moses, my servant, which I gave him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, the people, even the rules and the decisions. See, I am sending you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, that great day, greatly to be feared. And by him the hearts of fathers will be turned to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Now the Greek Septuagint says, and the hearts of the men to their fellow men. In other words, our men will come back together instead of hating each other like we have been doing for centuries. for fear that I may come and put the earth under a curse. Now, that's the Bible in basic English. And again, before we get into anything, I see an old friend has popped in. I got to say hello. If my software will work. Hold on a second here. Everything's glitchy all of a sudden. Dan, is that you, buddy?
Hey, it's me.
Wow. A ghost from the past. Dan from Georgia. Welcome to the program.
Hey, well, you know, I don't ever know when your programs are on. I guess I just don't check my email as much. So I got a notice tonight that you were on and wanted to jump on and listen.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, if I get to something where you want to jump in, do you just want to mute at your end, and that way you can unmute whenever you want to jump in and say something?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
Oh, okay. How you been doing, by the way?
Oh, pretty good. You know, I don't know, all this COVID nonsense. I don't know.
Are you still in? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, some of these places, you know, and some jobs they won't hire you unless you've been vaccinated. You know, it's just crazy.
Right. Are you in Florida?
I am now in Florida.
Oh, okay. So maybe we should change it. Dan from Florida now.
But good to listen. I've been wanting to listen to you for a while now, but I just haven't been on much. So
I know. Life gets it's amazing how fast time is flying by here lately.
I know.
But yeah, I'll go ahead and get into some of the things I've got here. And like I said, if you feel like jumping in, just go ahead and unmute yourself and come on in.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Good to hear from you, buddy.
You too.
All right. Dan from Georgia. Well, Dan formerly of Georgia, now of Florida, like so many folks down here in Florida lately, it seems like. But the reason for the topic was it just dawned on me earlier today as I was reading some of the news and some of the goofy things that are going on and just the complete insanity. It just came over me that why do we accept this? You know, and I came up with the title, The Way It Could Be. What is it that it could be? In other words, this wacky world that we find ourselves in. And we seem to have bought the lie that we can't do anything about it and that we have to accept this insanity. Yeah, Ralph says it feels like it takes twice as long to get anything done. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we could do three times as much in a 12-hour day. Maybe it's a factor of age. I don't know. It is crazy. But anyway, why we accept the things the way they are, so the way it could be, meaning what would this world look like if we, his sons and daughters, were in charge and we decided that Yahweh's law was going to be the law of the land? A little bit like our ancestors who, when they first came here, proclaimed this North American continent for Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the God of the Bible. Okay, that is evident from all of the documentation that's historically available. Okay, so we went from a bunch of pilgrims that came here to get away from persecution, which includes overtaxation, by the way, as well as many other abuses, but also to worship as we saw fit. Now, a lot of people say that religious freedom in America means you can be of any religion. I'm sorry, but that's bullshit. No, this was a Christian nation. You could observe Christ and the God of the Bible in your fashion, but if you think that meant that you could come in here and openly promote Satanism, Luciferianism, atheism, pedophilia, homosexuality, transgenderism, Judaism, Buddhism, Taoism, Muslim worship, Mohammed worship. If you think it meant all that, then you are dumber than a box of rocks. Because the founding fathers, unlike the average nincompoop that walks the earth today, the founding fathers and even young children amongst the founding fathers were better read and smarter than the average person today. They studied the prophets, they studied scripture, but they also studied philosophers, historians, some of the great writers from antiquity like Plato and Plutarch, etc. They studied. And they understood that what makes a nation, and you can look it up in an exhaustive dictionary, it will tell you, what makes a nation is having these following things in common. Race, number one, race, faith or religion, culture, heritage, and language. Okay? If you don't have those things in common, you're not a, quote, nation, because then you become an empire, and empires never survive because there's constant fighting, because you're no longer homogenous. You're no longer the same people who share common values and traits, IQ, ideas of family, ideas of society, civil law, even courtesy, common courtesy amongst your people, okay? Those things have to be in common. As soon as they're not in common, you have diversity, which equals calamity, which equals chaos. And take a look at America. Take a look at all the white nations, because we've allowed the enemy, through Judaism, to creep into positions of power in all of the white nations. And because of that, we have total chaos, because they have destroyed all of the organic documents and principles set about by our founding fathers. They've destroyed them. And so the things that kept us together and kept us homogeneous and made us very strong and powerful, they have destroyed those. So now that we are the laughingstock of the world, we are weak, we are separated, we have the worst of our people that are running the show, so we are no longer a nation, a constitutional republic. We are a kakistocracy, which is from the Greek language. It just basically means that those in governance are the worst of your people, not your best. See, the founding fathers said you only put the best. And where did the founding fathers get that? Oh, that's right, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You never let a racial alien have a position of power within your country. That's right out of the Bible. So we've got all these churches, and we've got all these preachers and priests and pastors, and they're up there telling you that, oh, I'm a man of God, and I'm going to teach you the word of God. And all they talk about is love, love, love. Jesus just loves everybody. But they sort of gloss over Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where it says that two men shall not sleep together as a man and woman. Okay, so homosexuality is out. Incest is out. Bestiality with animals is out. Okay, and racial aliens having political power is out. That's why, up until the early 1900s, non-whites didn't have political power in this country. In the late 1800s, you have Supreme Court decisions that said non-whites had no standing before the court. Okay? That happened in like 1898, well after the Civil War. So the Civil War wasn't to make black people and people of color equal to whites. I'm sorry, but that's just not what happened. So your Supreme Court threw cases out that had come before it that were being submitted by non-whites by simply telling them the Constitution doesn't apply to you. So you have no constitutional argument before this court because it only applies to white people because it's our country. Okay? Why is that so hard for people to understand? I don't get it. Okay? You have no problem with Jews claiming Israel, even though they stole it from the Palestinians and are still murdering them to this day. You can accept that. You can accept black people claiming that they need to have Rhodesia and South Africa, even though they did not build them. They just sort of took them over because Jews went over there with bushel baskets full of money, and they had their pet communist darkies and put them in charge like Mandela and took it away from the whites that settled those lands. And yet you got no problem with that. You have no problem with that. The white Boers and the white farmers were murdered and butchered, raped, killed, tortured by the blacks, thanks to the Jews that empowered them. And when they finally got to control those countries, you celebrated it. And yet you don't think we deserve our country to keep our country white? That's a mental problem, okay? That's a form of insanity. It's okay for Jews to have their country. It's okay for Chinese to have their country and for Koreans to have theirs and Vietnamese to have theirs, blacks in sub-Saharan Africa to have their countries like Sierra Leone and places like that. That makes perfect sense to you, but you can't wrap your head around white nations being for white people. You buy into the lie. That's a form of insanity, folks. And I know I've got family and friends that are insane. You've got teachers and professors and people in government and all kinds of institutions that are completely insane. And now you've accepted their insanity as being normal. Just like the idea that a child can decide what sex it's going to be, male or female or some other. You buy into it. So how could it be? The way it could be is we obey God's law and we'd have none of this stupidity. None of it. Your taxes would virtually disappear. Now, maybe you guys like paying taxes, okay? Our founding fathers didn't. That was a big part of why we separated from England, okay? Taxation without representation. A bunch of oligarchs get together, and they found how easy it is to steal money from people by just signing pieces of paper called legislation. Well, it's happening here now. Instead of a madman 3,000 miles away sitting on a throne in England, we've got a bunch of mad people in Washington, D.C. and our state capitals who think it's okay to steal our hard-earned money by simply making pieces of paper out and signing them and calling it the law. It's still theft. Go read Frederick Bastiat's book called The Law. Excellent little book. It's a little bitty book. He wrote it just before the French Revolution because the conditions in France were very, very similar to the conditions we have here in the United States today. And the French Revolution broke out and the aristocracy were hunted down and murdered. Now, part of that was due to Jewish intrigue who had nefarious ideas going on. So it wasn't all just a peasant uprising, because we find out all revolutions are basically Jewish ploys for power and money. But there was an element to it in the sense that the aristocracy had gotten kind of full of themselves, but it was mostly the Jews whipping up the crowd, just like they did when they had Christ himself on trial, and they whipped up the crowd to cry, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Most of them in the crowd didn't even know who the hell Barabbas was. But a bunch of Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees running around and handing out shekels, and the crowd yelled whatever the Pharisees wanted. Well, it's no different. The French did it. The English did it. The South African traders did it, turned their country over to the communist blacks and Jews. The Rhodesia had their treason. Their country was turned over to communist blacks and Jews so that the Jews could get what they wanted, which was the gold, the silver, and the diamonds, and other precious metals and strategic metals. And the blacks just go along with whatever they're said, and the traders amongst the blacks took their money and did whatever they were told. It's the same scenario. So the way it could be is we stop this endless circle, this treadmill that we're on, of constantly repeating the same mistakes throughout history. It's always the same critters causing the trouble, the Jew, who uses his nefarious deeds and machinations within finance and law, and then they eke their way into entertainment and the schools and medicine and everything else. But it starts out, they control the media and the money. That's the two M's. M&M. Media and money is their first targets, because once they control those two, it's all downhill for the host nation after that. And so we're seeing and living in the result of that, this Judification of our people. We no longer hear the true word of God in any of these whitewashed sepulchers called churches. We don't hear any truth over the news media or out of any government officials or any of the so-called trusted voices like NIH and CDC and WHO, all the rest of them. They're all just a bunch of whores, really. That's all they are. They're stuffed shirts. Most of them probably have IQs down around 75 or 80. They're just barely able to read teleprompters and written documents placed in front of them. They're actually retards, okay? But they dress them up and they prop them up and the people buy it. Oh, this is the head of the WHO, and yeah, he's been wanted for felonies and he's committed crimes, but he's our puppet, so you ignore that. Just look at the fact that he heads up the WHO and we say he's a good guy. And they march this guy out and he reads his little script and everybody goes back to sleep going, boy, I'm sure glad the WHO's looking out for us. And then you got that guy Fauci comes out. He's another miscreant, another sociopath. And they march him out same way, dress him up like he is something, put some initials or letters after his name, and everybody goes, whoa, he's a smart fellow. He's a criminal. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And he's a Jew. So, no surprise there. So the thing of it is, why do we give reverence to people? Somebody tell me in Scripture, because I think I've missed it. Somebody needs to call in and tell me where in Scripture I missed it that says we're supposed to turn off our brains, turn off our backbones, turn into cowards, and follow these mental midgets like Fauci and the head of the WHO and Burks and all the rest of these cretins. Where does it say we're supposed to do that? And we're not supposed to worship the living God and follow his law. Where does it say we replaced his law with man's law? Because I seem to have forgotten, or I missed it somehow. Because I've read through Scripture for a long time, and I can't remember ever reading anything that says we're supposed to do that. So one of two things. Either we've become a nation of insane cowards, or we are completely apostate at this point, pretending to be believers, when in fact we're not. We claim to believe, but we don't have any faith. Because if you have faith in it, you put it into practice. And when you don't have faith, you just give it lip service, and then keep right on going and doing all the insane things that we do, including what all these hapless morons are doing out here in society. It's just unbelievable. At this point in time, over a year and a half into this total charade, that we still have people that think there's a pandemic of some sort, when there was never one to begin with, ever. And all you had to do was go to the CDC site and other government sites and their own documentation. Or if you just listen to the morons in their speeches where they were in front of the TV camera, you know, that flat screen you all worship, the image of the beast. If you listen to what they were saying carefully, they were telling you that they were doctoring the figures. That woman, that communist woman, said, if you die with COVID, we're going to count it as dying from COVID. She said that in a public statement in front of a television camera. And still the people couldn't figure out they were being misled, lied to, manipulated, and this has been a sham from day one. All you had to do is listen to what they say. But instead, the sheep go by their emotions because they don't have any intellect anymore. You see, a person of intellect will search out a matter, and they will listen to other sources of information. They will balance it between the different sources and try to come up with the truth somewhere in the middle. That's what a rational person with a brain that still functions would do. So what we're witnessing is the fact that the average person in this world, but particularly in the Western white world where we have so many televisions and electronic devices, which is our downfall, by the way, having affluence and all of this technology is actually bringing the white man down. So our people are no longer capable of intellectual thought and rational behavior. They just go by their emotional responses. It reminds me of, maybe we should go there. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 9 verses. Okay. This is, the title here is Godlessness in the Last Days. Now, some people say lawlessness. But the actual scripture is talking about God's law, not man's law. So godlessness, well, I'm going to switch over. Let me get the World English Bible. It says the same thing, godlessness in the last days. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times will come. Is anybody feeling aggrieved out there? Yeah, I know I am. For men will be lovers of self, selfish in other words, lovers of money. Can I hear an amen out there? That's a root of all evil, isn't it? The lovers of money, boastful. Oh, look what I've done. I don't need God. I got me a big old account with Pfizer, and I'm making money hand over fist. Arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That also means disobedient to your elders, not necessarily your birth parents, but disobedient to the elders who have lived longer and learned more. Unthankful, boy, I've seen that even amongst my own family. Unholy, meaning not separated from everybody. You're going the way of the world out there. Without natural affection. Yeah, we don't even take care of our children. In the animal kingdom, mama bear and a tiger and even rabbits will fight to the death to save their little ones. But not humans, not us, mankind. No. We take them down to the abortion clinic and let the Jews chop them up and make money with it. And then when we get them out, if they do get born, we allow the Jews to tell us, well, you don't want to give them breast milk. Give them what us Jews make called Enfamil and these other formulas. That's much better than mama's milk. Oh, and by the way, let us circumcise the end of the most sensitive part on a little boy's body. Let us cut that off, and we're going to add that to what we send off and make money with in research. And it's going to cripple the boys mentally, emotionally, traumatically. It's also going to make other things difficult. But, you know, it's the way we should do it, right? We don't even have natural affection. We don't protect our young ones and the unborn. No natural affection. Unforgiving. How many of y'all run around and let some offense stay with you for decade after decade after decade? Unforgiving. Slanderers. Another name for that could be gossipers. Our people are terrible about that. Without self-control. Yeah. Fierce. And not lovers of good. Now, good means moral, based on God's law. Traitors. We got tons of them. Washington, D.C. is flooded with them. Headstrong. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim God. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied its power. Right. Faith without works is dead. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Turn away from these also. Talking to you and me. Turn away from these. How many people out there have I heard say, well, those are my children. They mean everything to me. I said, really? They mean everything to you. So if they grow up to be Satan worshipers, that's okay. If they grow up to be homosexuals, that's okay. If they grow up to be drug abusers, that's okay. If they blaspheme the living God, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, Dan, because they're my children. You got to love your children. What about if they're race mixers? What if they think it's okay to hop in bed with a non-white? Oh, well, she's still my daughter. It's still my son. Really? I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, and I just shake my head. It's like, what happened to, if you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me? Those are the words of Christ, by the way. They're not the words of a prophet. They're not some guy that witnessed the Savior. That's the Savior's quote in more than one place. If you don't love me more than everything on this earth, you don't deserve me. I created it all, is what he's basically saying. I created it all. You're not supposed to hold up something here that you created above me, who put everything here. Besides that, what does it say to your children, your relatives, your neighbors, etc., when you acquiesce and accept their immoral behavior? I've got very close family that recently went to a wedding that was between two women because the mother and father of one of the women was a close friend. I couldn't wrap my head around that. So your friendship to these other people means more than standing up for what the Father says. That's the way I read that. I could be wrong, but that's the way it looks to me. Because in my book, if they had said, hey, Dan, do you want to come to the wedding? I'd say, what wedding? It's not a wedding. It's two women. There's no wedding there. There's no progeny going to come from that. There's nothing that the Father's condoning coming from that. And then these same people have another daughter that got married this time to a guy, but the person officiating on it is the female dyke of the other couple. And during the wedding, God is not mentioned once in the entire wedding. Nothing mentioned out of Scripture, and God not mentioned at all. What kind of wedding is that? Why even go through the pretense? Why go to a church? Why get up in front of a crowd at the altar? Why have vows? Because those are all biblical concepts. So why go through that? again, having the form of godliness, but denying its power over you committing sin. In other words, doing what you think's right in your own eyes. Unbelievable. So, turn away from these also, for some of these are people who creep into houses and take captive gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I'm going to stop you here because, fortunately, one of my email buddies is from Greece. He lives in Florida now, but he spends half the year in Greece and half the year in Florida. And he pointed out to me that in the Greek language, this word used here in verse number 6 as gullible women is actually a mistranslation. Well, what are you saying, Dan? Well, because in the Greek language, this word stands for both females and effeminate men. Or you could say men who act more like females than they do males. So these creatures creep into the houses and take captive through television, radio, movies, cell phones, gullible females and effeminate men, little fairy boys, little soy boys. And they're loaded down with sin, meaning loaded down with transgressions of God's law. Even as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so do these who oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind, who concerning the faith are rejected. But they will proceed no further, for their folly will be evident to all men, as theirs also came to be, meaning Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses, cost them their lives. Okay, so eventually these degenerates are going to pay a dear price for their degeneracy. That's basically what it's saying. But what price are we paying in the meantime? We're watching our world being decimated by the insanity that's going on today. Does it have to be this way? No, it does not. All we have to do, again, is implement God's law, which is something we were supposed to have done from the beginning. When this country was founded, it was founded on biblical law. William Blackstone, who wrote his famous commentaries on law, was considered both in Europe and in North America as one of the greatest jurists to ever live. And William Blackstone said in his commentaries that any law or any piece of paper signed by legislators that contradicts God's law is no law at all. So do you understand? So you people with marriage licenses, okay, what is a marriage license for? Well, if you do the research, you will find out that a marriage license was to marry somebody outside your race because it was considered against God's law to marry outside your race. And so you had to get, quote, permission from the state. Now, the question that everybody should ask is, where the hell did the state get the authority to overturn God's law? By issuing a license so that a white could marry a black or a brown or a yellow or a Jew. Okay, where did the state have the authority to do that? Well, the answer, obvious, is they did not. So marriage licenses were immoral and illegal from the get-go. And yet people still think they have to go get a marriage license. Why? Because the Judaic legal system will deny you certain things if you don't have a, quote, marriage license. Now, it used to be, back in the 80s when I first started learning these things, many states recognized a common law marriage so that if you got married and lived together, they considered a common law, and you could get a legal document signed by witnesses who verified that you lived together with your lady under the common law, and that was accepted. It was entered into the record that you were man and wife, and therefore she could have benefits or whatever. However, over the years, they've thrown out all of the biblical ways to be man and wife, and now the only thing recognized is the atheistic, satanic state. But is that the way it has to be? No, it could be different. It could be God's way. But we, his sons and daughters, would rather worship the beast. We would rather fall down in obeyance to the state. And, I understand the state makes it difficult. I've got three of my sons that are going to lose their jobs. One of them has already had to go and find another job, and two of them are on the verge of losing their jobs. I have a daughter that finally caved in and put the poison in her body twice because of pressure at work, but she has stopped and will not put any more in. And she is now telling all of her friends that it was a mistake to do it, and she would not recommend anybody else do it hereafter. I understand the pressures on all of us, including my sons and daughters. But my sons that have said, I will find another way to make a living, but I'm not putting that poison in my body. I am proud that they have made that decision. Is it an easy decision? No. They had built up time in service towards a pension and all of that. I've got a cousin that's in the Air Force, only 6 years away from retirement, and he's going to have to get out or put the poison in his body. It's a tough decision only if you look at it as wanting to hang on to Babylon, or as Lot, the wife of Lot, when she wanted to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and was turned into a pillar of salt, which is a biblical way of saying she was killed. She died. Why? Because she loved Starbucks and the mall and the frills of Babylon more than she did being righteous. And in our case today, we love Babylon more than our health, because this is a health decision, and nobody has the right to force you to put a poison in your body. And this is a poison. It's an untested, unverified, and it doesn't work, poison. It's as simple as that. If somebody mixed up a cup with arsenic in it or some other deadly poison and sat it in front of you and said, well, you can keep your job, but you have to drink this arsenic, would you drink it? I think some people would. No, knowing damn well that they're going to fall over dead, and they would still do it because they just can't think of not doing it. Does that make sense? We are so conditioned to live our lives in servitude to the beast that we can't even think of living outside of that box. We can't even think of it. It's so foreign to us that we would rather put poison in our body than be forced to think on how to live on our own, be independent of Babylon. That's how rough it is. It's hard to believe that when mankind was put on this earth, Adam was put here with all the tools he needed to survive. And you think about this, ladies and gentlemen, what do you need to actually survive? Very little. and Yahweh provided it free of charge. It didn't require money. You could walk through the forest and get every medicinal herb you need for every ailment in your body. Just walk through the woods. If you had a headache, you could go up to a white willow tree and pull off a piece of bark and chew it. Headache gone. You could find a hydrangea flower and make a tea out of its leaves and roots and stems and drink it, and your kidney stones are gone. You could chew on another herb and take care of your gums and teeth. Everything free of charge. All you do is walk in the woods. It was right there. Your evening meal was in the streams or the lakes, or it might be a deer bounding through the woods, and that would feed your family for weeks and weeks and weeks. Potatoes and corn growing everywhere, okay? And the real ones, not these genetically modified garbage that we eat today. Oranges aren't real oranges anymore, especially the seedless kind. Grapes, seedless grapes aren't real. Anything seedless is not real. And the GMOs that are out there. And not only that, if it's not GMO, it's raised in a toxic environment of herbicides, pesticides, and everything else. And yet the Father put everything we needed free of charge. It was all around you. You get a couple guys and some nice saws and go out in the woods, get all the lumber you need to make a nice cabin. You could dig a well, you have nice spring water to drink. Nice, clean, fresh spring water. I grew up on it. I know what it tastes like. It's sweet. How many people have ever drank water out of the ground that was sweet? You don't even know what it tastes like. You don't even have any idea. You think that stuff that comes out of the tap was city water and it's real water. No, it's not. The water Yahweh provided is so cold and so crystal clear, and it has the flavor of sweetness to it. Not like there's sugar in it, but if you don't have a contaminated palate with all of the junk food out here, you'd be surprised how sweet that water tastes. You didn't have to be told to drink it. You drank enough water just because it tasted good. And again, no charge. Didn't have to be pumped anywhere. Didn't have to have pipes in the ground. Didn't have to have some utility company sending a bill every month. It was free. Right there in front of you. Everything you need to make good clothing, whether it's hemp or cotton or linen, everything was there. But we turned away from it. We said, no, no, no. I want what they make at the factory. For instance, everybody knows that wool, like a good wool suit, is supposed to be like a high-value item and everything. And we learned that in the Middle Ages, that in the old castles of England and stuff, it would be really cold at night. And a lot of them slept in woolen garments. And many of the knights had wool under their armor. And everybody thought about that, including myself, and I said, wool? Who in the hell would want to sleep in something right next to your sensitive skin made out of wool? Well, you see, there's a difference. The stuff that the Jew factory makes has had all the natural oils taken out of it, and that's what makes it so scratchy and irritating. If you have natural wool that comes right off of the sheep and it's just cleaned and turned into cloth and made into shirts and pillowcases and garments, it's soft. It's just as soft as cotton. And here's the other beautiful thing. Yahweh looks after us, doesn't he? If you had a woolen garment, and we know this because of the British soldiers in World War II. They used to, the commandos had wool over, like heavy sweaters they used to wear. Wool is the only fabric that will keep you warm even when it's soaking wet. Did you know that? Natural wool, not the factory wool. I'm talking about natural wool. If you have a garment made out of that, or even trousers, you can get soaking wet in a rainstorm or however else, and yet you will still stay warm. Now, is that a beautiful thing or what? And again, all of this is put right here for us, and nobody could tell us that we couldn't harvest it, we couldn't take it out of the woods or get it off the animals. It was part of our right to be here on this earth, to harvest and to shear the sheep and things such as that. It was a man's right to make his own garments, his own housing. And today, now, we think we have to get government's permission on what color our garbage cans are, or some HOA, what color my shutters are, what kind of roof I put on my house, what kind of dimensions are in my house, what kind of bathroom fixtures I have in my house. You don't have any freedom anymore. You're a slave to a system. We're all slaves to a system because we have forgotten how to live as independent men and women. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. We don't have to pay all these damn taxes. We don't have to have all these millions of rules and regulations and an army of bureaucrats trying to dictate every facet of our life. That's not freedom. And that's not the way it was intended to be. So the way it could be is just the opposite of what we have today. And it would also be just the opposite of what the Founding Fathers even wanted in the Constitution. We're not following the Constitution. You don't have constitutional money. You don't have a constitutional court system. You don't have a constitutional system of justice. You don't. There's nothing in Scripture or the Founding Fathers for a prison. There should be no prisons. There should be no year, 2, 3 years in jail waiting for a trial. That's criminal. That's government criminality. Okay? That's not a speedy trial. It's up to the government. The burden of proof is on the government, not you and me. If they don't have it, there's nothing that says I got to sit in jail while they try to put something together. That's bullshit. Why do we let them get away with that? One of my buddies at the American Legion had a teenage girl falsely accused him of rape. It cost him 4 years of his life. 2 years in jail waiting for the trial, and another 2 years of the trial going on and the aftermath of it. So a total of 4 years of his life wasted because a woman lied about him raping her. And she later confessed to lying. And yet she was not punished for that. Cost this man his reputation, cost this man his girlfriend, cost him tens of thousands of dollars, 4 years of his life, and the lying little bitch didn't get punished at all. Is that godly? No, it's not godly. Why do we think that that's okay? Why do we think that judges can get away with lying? Politicians, doctors, lawyers, police officers, military people. Why? Why is it okay for them to lie and not get away with it? Or women, or even in some cases men, lie about rape. The Bible says that that's such a serious crime that you're to take the liar out and stone him to death. Yeah, that's right. You ladies, if you lie about rape and it's found out that you lied, that's a criminal offense that's worthy of death. And you know why? Because if the person you accused was found guilty, we're supposed to hang him. That's why it's so serious. In this day and age, we don't do that, though, because, my God, Dan, you're talking about doing it God's way? What's the matter with you? Well, do you like all the crime and the total chaos and the cesspool we live in? You like that? No, I don't like that. Do you like that? I mean, think about that one thing. if every false accuser in a capital case, so we're talking kidnapping, rape, murder, pedophilia, etc., if a person is found guilty of lying under oath in those cases, they would be executed. Do you think people would lie so much in the courtroom? I told you the story long ago when I went to Oklahoma City, right after the bombing, actually, because I went down and saw the memorial. But I went to Oklahoma City to testify in a trial because at that time there was a doctor, a naturopathic doctor who had a practice in Oklahoma City. He was, at that time, was a friend of mine. And I happened to hear him being accosted and threatened by his neighbor, because we were on the phone together. And he left the phone on. I guess the neighbor didn't realize it. So I listened to about a 20, 25-minute argument and threat by the neighbor, threatening to do harm to my buddy and to falsely accuse him. So I heard all that. And I was taking notes as this conversation was going on. Something told me it could turn into something. And I was about ready to hang up and call the police for my buddy, because it sounded like they were going to start trying to kill each other. So anyway, that's how I ended up in Oklahoma City at this courthouse as a witness for my buddy. But the thing that was really strange, and I drove all the way from Michigan to Oklahoma City for this trial, and my buddy introduced me to this Christian gentleman who was his lawyer. And he looked to be in his early 40s, kind of balding, glasses, nice suit. And this was a well-to-do section of Oklahoma City. And he introduces me, and I said, you know, pleased to meet you. And he said, well, Dan, I'd like to talk to you. We were out in the parking lot. And he said, I'd like to talk to you before we go in the courtroom. And I said, well, sure, what about? He said, well, you're going to testify for Charles today. I said, yeah. He said, I just want you to know that in the courtroom, everybody lies. Now, this is back in 1990s now. And I just looked at him and I said, would you repeat what you just told me? I wish I had a tape recorder going. And he said, well, I'm just letting you know that in the courtroom, everybody lies. Now, this was not some seedy area of New York or Chicago. This is in a predominantly white upper class area of Oklahoma City. And this is a supposedly righteous Christian man who's a lawyer. I'm not sure you can be both. And he has the audacity to tell me that going into the courtroom, everybody lies. So I looked at him and I just said, well, sir, let me tell you something. I'm here to testify because I took notes and I know the truth, and I don't like seeing injustice done. I said, I'm not here to lie because I don't have to lie, for one thing. And number two, I'm not going to lie for anybody. I'm not going to lie for you, for Charles, or anybody else. I'm going to tell him exactly what I heard on the phone. If that gets Charles what he wants, that's great. But if it doesn't, that's too bad. But I'm not going to make something up for you or him or anybody else. And I said, I'm going to tell you another thing. I am sorely disappointed that you so calmly tell me that it's okay to lie in the courtrooms of America. And you find that to be acceptable? So I went in there, and sure enough, I testified. And this Jewish, it turns out his neighbor was Jewish that was making the false accusation. No surprise there, right? And he had a Jewish lawyer. And the Jewish lawyer, in cross-examining me, tried to twist everything I said until I finally stopped and looked up at the judge and I said, Your Honor, do I have to constantly remind this guy of what's on the record? I said, I already made my statement and it's on the record. Do I have to sit here and hear him constantly try to twist it? And it was an older white gentleman behind the bench, and he just looked over at the lawyer and he said, Mr. Johns is right, so you need to stop what you're doing right now. It's on the record. He made his statement, and you have no business trying to twist it around. So it turned out they lost, and my buddy was the charges were dropped against my buddy. But at the end of my testimony, and I was getting ready to step down, and the judge just said, can I ask you a question? And I said, well, certainly. Why? What? He goes, can I ask why you're here? And I just looked at him. I thought, why am I here? He said, yeah, I'd like to know why you are here. Why did you drive all the way from Michigan to here just to testify in this relatively simple court proceeding? I said, because Charles is a friend of mine and an injustice was trying to be done, and I had firsthand eyewitness testimony that could undo the injustice. He goes, and that's it? I said, yeah, that's it. He goes, you're not business partners. He's not paying you. Or I said, hell no. Hell no. And I thought about that drive the next day or so when I left to go back to Michigan. And on the trip home, I kept thinking to myself, in this land where we profess to be Christian, we profess to be moral, these are the things I heard. What else is happening in these so-called courtrooms and across this nation, if this is just an example of what's going on today, where somebody will drive that far to stop an injustice? Aren't we supposed to all be doing that? Maybe I'm naive. Maybe that's it. I'm just naive. Because when I was a boy and my father and mother taught me things and I read things in my textbook at school and I read the Bible at night with my mother and I listened to the teachers at Sunday school, I actually thought they meant what they were telling me. I actually thought that that's the ideals of the American people, that to live their lives that way. How foolish of me. I'm pretty naive. Because over the years, I found out that there's almost nobody in this country that lives that way. Certainly not in government. Certainly not in the courtrooms. Certainly not in the police departments. Certainly not in the military anymore. So maybe one of my lady friends many years ago said, Dan, you are an anachronism. I had to go look that word up. An anachronism. I said, well, it sounds like you're insulting me, but I'm not sure, so I got to look it up. An anachronism means that you are out of place, out of time. In other words, a misfit. You don't belong here. Your value system is long gone. You got to come up to the modern way of doing things and forget that old stuff that you think is so important. We're beyond that. We've progressed beyond that now. Lying is acceptable. Murdering babies is acceptable. Putting poison in children is acceptable. Murdering children for their organs and body parts and blood is acceptable. Harvesting organs is acceptable. Taking our young girls and getting them hooked on drugs and turning them into whores on New York City streets is acceptable. Lying on the witness stand is acceptable. Lying to go to the public to get into office is acceptable. Blaspheming the living God is acceptable. Homosexuality and transgenderism is acceptable. Jewish perversions is acceptable in our white Christian constitutional republic. And I am an anachronism. I admit it. I'm out of place. Whereas my father used to say, you're a fish out of water. Yeah, I am a fish out of water. That's why it hurts. Because I know the way it could be. Because I was naive enough to believe what I was reading. I was naive enough to give credence to what my elders were teaching me. and what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was naive to believe it. I was naive enough to think that my fellow Americans and fellow white men and women would want to live that way because it's just the right thing to do. How naive. But I wouldn't change it. I would rather go to my grave being a foolish, naive, not so young boy anymore. But I would rather believe in what I believe in than to accept what the world is accepting out here, because this is utter insanity. Unbelievable stupidity, cowardice, and insanity that's going on. Just unbelievable. So anyway, I don't really have anything newsworthy to tell you about. I actually took a vacation day from too much news today because it's just so much of it's all bad. And I'm just still waiting for the righteous. When are the righteous men of God going to take a stand, as Malachi was talking about and Obadiah and Ezekiel in chapter 25? Where are the righteous men of Yahweh who could turn this thing around? When are they going to say enough is enough? I don't know. Hey, Dan, if you want to unmute for a minute, I'd like to get your opinion on some things, if you're still there.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, bud.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good show tonight. I was going to ask you something about this vaccine. Do you believe it's the mark of the beast?
I believe it's turning into it, because they're already starting to do it. I know people that have been turned away at like concerts, sporting events, without showing a passport, a vaccine passport. I know they plan on expanding it, and probably pretty soon public transportation is going to require it. There's already rumors that the states are going to start trying to implement some kind of system in your driver's licenses. And again, where the hell did we get these driver's licenses from? God put us on this earth to travel freely, whether it's in a car or not. Now, we have to do it responsibly, just like if you own a weapon, you're supposed to know how to clean it, you know, load it, carry it safely. Well, same thing with a car. You're supposed to learn how to drive it and drive it well and maintain it on the highway. I don't need a piece of paper from the state to do that. But, you know, I believe that it is part of the beast system, and it is becoming the mark, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm not really convinced that it is the mark quite yet, because just my opinion, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we were forced to be vaccinated before we could go to school. So the vaccines have been around for a long time, and now I know kids have to have a whole slew of them compared to what I was required to have when I was a kid. And I'm not quite sold on it yet. I mean, if it gets to the point where we can't buy and sell at all without it, then I'll be totally convinced. But I think this is something that this is a trial. They're floating this out there to see how people will react when they do introduce the mark of the beast, whatever that may be. And
Yeah, the old vaccines are not part of the mark, but this vaccine is the first of its kind, and this is the first time it's being pushed worldwide.
True.
So
that's true.
This is different. This one is different than all the other ones, way different. First of all, it's untested, never been truly approved. This is the first one that goes down to the DNA level to make changes, And it's the first one being pushed by virtually every government on earth. Every corporation, every government, every health organization, and the powers that be are funneling billions of dollars to bribe people to go along with this. I see it clearly that this is becoming the mark. It's not quite there yet because you can still buy and sell without it. You can't buy and sell everywhere, though. There's already certain countries that are banning you from going to the grocery store without it. There's some of these countries you cannot get on any public transportation without it. So it's already morphing into the mark. So this COVID nonsense is the first time ever. So that's why I say be careful, because it's, first of all, it's damaging to you to the, at the DNA level, which you're messing with God's code. Okay. The DNA is his code in your body. So you're virtually allowing somebody to tamper with the God-given coding of your body. So that's a very dangerous first-time thing right there. But the fact that all of these corporations, banks, and elites and government are pushing to demand it no matter what, that's a first. And I see that as this is a lead up to where it is literally the mark at that point.
Yeah, that's very possible. I haven't gotten it yet, and I sure as hell don't intend to get it. I don't know if it, I pray that I have the strength and the courage not to get it, you know, if that time comes. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not getting it. And a lot of them are just talk. I don't want to be one of those people, but I just hope I have the courage and the faith not to do it if it happens to me, if I am threatened with my job over it. But one other thing about that, though, I know you mentioned that your daughter had gotten the vaccine. You said that tonight. You said she'd gotten two of them.
Right.
Has she had any side effects from it or anything like that?
Well, both her and her mother got two shots, and both of them had severe side effects. My ex-wife had some very severe side effects, so much so that she's now an anti-vaxxer. And so is my daughter, by the way. But they both had pretty severe, and my ex-wife had very severe. Now, they did not go to the hospital, as far as I know, with any kind of like heart condition or any of that, but with some people, it's happening much later. It's not happening within the first month. It also depends on which lot number of the vaccine you got. It also depends on which manufacturer, or did you get a placebo? All of that's out there. Huh?
I was about to ask that. That was my next question. I'm sorry, you want to ask me something. I'm asking you all these questions, but ask you too. I have also heard in talking with people that there one third out there is placebo, one third is a certain dosage of it, and then another third is an even stronger dosage of it. I don't know whether all that's true or not. Have you heard anything as far as numbers and percentages?
Yeah, there's been several. Dr. Jane Ruby and Stu Peters and some of the others have been talking about the fact that different lot numbers are being shipped out to different areas and different groups. But one of the things that I've observed and I've been asking around, it seems like the contaminated ones are being targeted against the white population, because I'm not seeing a lot of non-whites develop the severe side effects. Just like they showed some video of that concert, that black rapper from hell, and the eight people that died, all of the people I saw being carried out on stretchers, they all looked white.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been asking all my friends, take note in your areas as to the race of the people that are having the most severe side effects, including death. Like within my family, everybody that we know that has just died from this vax, every one of them has been white.
Mm-hmm.
Now, true, most of our friends and associates within our families are fellow whites, but I've had people, you know, we all have friends that are not white, and how much are you hearing about the non-whites having the same problems? And at least in my circles that I've been asking, few to none have told me of any non-whites having these problems. It seems to be predominantly white people. So is it targeted against whites? It could be. It could be a demographic thing that they're sending the contaminated batches into heavily white areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the target. We're the target.
Oh, yeah.
Our race, and particularly our men. Now, you got to remember, it also affects the women's reproductive systems, okay? It affects the men's sperm count, which drops it like a rock, and it's affecting women's ability to carry through with pregnancy or to get pregnant. So I wonder, who has incentive to want to do that to white people? What group of people has claimed that they want to get rid of us?
Oh, we know that.
I think it's a group of people that wear little hats.
Yeah. Yeah. The sons of Satan, the children of Satan. Yeah.
The sons of Satan. Yeah. As Joe Cortina in Clearwater, Florida would say, the sons of Satan, those guys with little hats. Yeah. So would it be easy for them to manipulate where certain key lots of these contaminated vaccines go? Sure as hell would be.
Mm-hmm.
All the more reason why, especially white people, should stay the hell away from this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, all the money in the world isn't worth your health. I mean,
no.
If you don't have your health, you don't have anything, really.
I think maybe my dad was more spiritual than I remember, because I can remember as a little boy on the farm and all the way through high school, my father, one of the things he said to me the most was, Daniel, take care of your health, because no amount of money on earth can replace it if you lose it. And those words stuck like glue in my mind all my life. And because it's true. It's
and
true.
And Scripture tells us our bodies are our temples.
Exactly.
So we're supposed to take care of them.
Exactly. You don't bring contaminants. You don't bring the unholy into the sanctuary. And our people, I don't know what happened to our people. I really don't. Maybe they were always that way, and I was just oblivious to it, but I don't know. I'm shocked. I really am shocked. Ever since this whole scamdemic thing came down, I've been shocked, even of my own family and close friends, at the behavior, how easy it was to fool them.
Yeah.
I mean, easy.
Yeah. You know, when I moved down here to Florida last year, and what's really funny is I would be like the only person in the grocery store without a mask, or anywhere, right, a store without wearing a mask. And I couldn't believe it, all these white people wearing masks. And then I'd go back home, back to Georgia, where there's the city I'm from is considerably more blacks. And I didn't see the blacks wearing masks like the white people down here do. It just shocked me, you know, that like you said, they people are so easily fooled. I think it's just because they're scared. You know, the media does such a fantastic advertising and PR job with this whole COVID mess that it scared so many people. But it just amazes me they don't stop and think, what a bunch of crap this is. You walk into a restaurant and they want you to wear a mask when you walk in, but when you sit down at the table to eat, you can take your mask off then. You go to the dentist office, you got to come in with a mask on, but once you're down in the dentist chair and getting your teeth on, you don't have a mask on then. If it wasn't so pathetic, it'd be funny. It'd be hilarious. See, the people going by a lot of these rules that they go by, all these silly rules.
Well, I kind of like what Pastor Greg says, that he thought that at the end of the age, when we reach this period of time, that they would be more cunning. It would be much more subtle. He goes, this is so blatant, it's unbelievable. And yet, look at the number of people falling for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just tells you what pathetic spirituality most people have, which is why Ezekiel calls it a valley full of dead and dry bones. That's us. That's our people.
Yeah.
Dead and dry bones.
Well, they don't have faith in their own God-given immune system. I mean,
right.
How did people survive for many thousands of years before vaccines ever existed? We survived just fine.
Exactly.
There were no vaccines back. We don't need them today.
No, and we don't need all this stuff coming out of factories and clothing stores and furniture stores and all that too. I mean, we think we have to have them, but do we really? We didn't have them for many centuries before. We got along just fine without all the government and taxation and all the ridiculous stuff we have to do. I read a good book years ago that in the Middle Ages, when all the great cathedrals were being built and all that stuff, the men that helped, the craftsmen that helped to do it, did it as a voluntary work, as a gift to the church, because they only had to work 16 weeks out of the year to make enough to feed their families.
Oh, wow.
Whether it was a farmer or a painter or a stonemason, they could put in 16, 17 basic weeks of work, and they had enough to provide for their families. The rest of the time they had to was leisure, to where they could read or study or spend time with their families or whatever, become better masons or bricklayers or whatever. So, I mean, we went from 17, 18 weeks out of 52 weeks to where now you work 50 to 51 out of 52 weeks, and people think that's okay.
Yeah, and that just gets you by.
And that just gets you by, and the government wants to take more, and the corporations take more, because now the government and the corporations are in bed together. You can't separate them. Just like this phony baloney bullshit with the gas. I mean, there's no gas shortage. There wasn't a gas shortage in the 1970s when we were in line getting the gas back then, and the gas now being up to 3.25 to 3.70 some in Pennsylvania, and 3.20 to 3.30 a gallon here in Florida. There's no reason for that, except that it's man-made, as usual.
Yeah. Just like paying farmers not to plant certain crops to drive the price up.
Right. It's all manipulated. Everything's manipulated. But here's the thing. It's always manipulated for the rich, not us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know.
And they have the inside information when they invest in their various stocks. They know all this stuff ahead of time, so they make a killing,
Right. Exactly. Pretty pathetic. So when you put your biblical glasses on and take a look 6 to 12 months down the road, what do you see?
Oh, gosh. I see this being, I kind of see all of this kind of coming to a stall because, you know, here in Florida, we got DeSantis is standing up pretty strong to this forced mandate that Biden wants to pass, this law. But, you know, and I think a few other states are joining in. So at least I'm hopeful that if anything, at least we can stall it. But I don't know. As far as economics and all, I see nothing but more, you know, prices going up. You see all this inflation that's gone into the stock market, driven it up, way up, and it really shouldn't be that high. It's just all this money's got to go somewhere, so it's going into the stock market. And, of course, that's not going to last forever, and we'll have a big crash there eventually. But, yeah, that's about all I can think of right now.
Did you see where some of the big gun manufacturers are moving out of the New England and going out to the states that are conservative?
Yeah, one of them's going to Georgia. What I saw the, I can't remember which one it was. I saw it the highlight on Yahoo today. I didn't read the article. I just saw it. The headline said one of them was moving to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The country is being split up.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of their agendas is to divide us, you know.
Right.
They've been doing that, working pretty hard at that for a long time.
Well, the good news is almost all the trouble is centered around the major cities. That's where most all the trouble is.
Yeah,
it's not out in flyover country. It's not in the rural areas. It's all centered around the large cities. That's where most of the communism is located.
Yeah. So what do you see in the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, I think the powers that be, their plan is going to be pushed harder to be fully implemented over the next 6 to 12 months. The takedown of the economic system to take us into a 100% electronic cashless society, which will mean further control, further intervention, further surveillance. I noticed that the bank lately, if you want to put cash in your own account, they never ask for an ID card. And lately they want an ID card, state-approved ID card, just to put cash in your own account. And I noticed that they log the ID number and the denominations of the cash. Now, why in the world would you do that? Except you want to track who's got cash and bring it into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So it follows that, you know, before it didn't matter. Now, all of a sudden, it matters. It's all about data. These communists are just driven to collect data. And that's a Jewish trait, by the way. I worked with a Jewish fellow out in Iowa many years ago when I first learned identity and about the Jewish problem. And my buddy Larry was telling me, he goes, that guy over there, he says, be careful around him. And I looked over and I said, are you talking about Terry? And he said, yeah. I said, what's the matter with him? He seems like a nice guy. And he goes, no, he's one of them. And I said, really? I said, tell me how. And he told me how. And I looked and went, yeah, you're right. That does seem that way. And I paid attention to his behavior over the next few months that we were working there. And Terry was forever going around the office, canvassing the white guys, wanting to know details about their personal life. And even for me, he was always asking, because he found out I was from Pennsylvania. So he said, I used to work in such and such in Pennsylvania. I said, really? I said, that's not far from where I grew up. So he goes, he wanted to know everything about me, where I lived, who was in my family, how many guns did we have, how much ammunition did I have, and where did we keep it? I'm serious as a heart attack. And I just looked at my buddy Larry after I go, Larry, has any white guy ever asked you that kind of questions? He goes, nobody ever has talked to me like that. I said, white guys don't do that. We know that's rude. And first of all, nobody with in his right mind would answer it. But Terry always was trying to get like information on everybody in the office. If they were seeing somebody, if they were anything to do with weapons and ammunition and political stance, he was constantly taking notes on everybody rather than doing his work.
What was he going to do with that information? Why would you care?
Well, because that's what they do. See, now he's going to feed that into probably somebody higher up the chain. And eventually, but okay. See, this is before computers now. Mm-hmm. So they had to do it by hand back then. And that's why they put so much money in the development of computers and the internet. Okay, everybody mm-hmm. says that was a military thing, but who runs our military? Jews do. They just take the budget for what's supposed to go to military, and they divert it over to these DARPA projects, and they wanted to get computers and the internet going because it was a much quicker, faster, easier way to surveil the white race here in our country, to get the data on them. And we, like dupes, gladly put all kinds of stuff over the internet, and they're just raking it in. They're building up dossiers on all of us, especially now that they have these quantum computers with artificial intelligence. They're putting together all kinds of data because that's how they figure out your weakness. That's where they figure out how to blackmail you or to bribe mm-hmm. you or to entice you to do the things they want you to do. That's how they work.
They're
always trying to collect information, and I didn't think of it back then as much, but now over the years, as we've watched how the intelligence agencies have been spying on us for a very long time, even though the law says they're not supposed to, they were doing it. They've been doing it. They've been listening on our phone conversations and recording everything on our computers from day one. It's this idea that there was freedom of speech and privacy that's never existed. Never existed. They've been documenting and tracking all of this for a very long time. It's because that's their nature. That's how they mm-hmm. operate, okay? That's why they're the world's spies. Who are the most famous spies in the world? They're all Jews, like Pollard. And the Rosenbergs and Eisenbergs and all the rest of them, they're all Jews. That's what mm-hmm. they do. They're spies. They develop the CIA, the FBI, the NSA. All of that stuff is out of their think tanks because they use those organizations to undermine and subvert our societies. They're not here for our benefit. There was never... From the day they conceived those organizations, they were not for the benefit of we the people, ever. Never once, not a single day. It's just like your police officer goes by and it says, to protect and serve, but it doesn't tell you who they mm-hmm. protect and serve, okay? They know the average person looks at it and goes, well, he's protecting and serving me, the public. No. And I can thank my dear grandfather for that because when I was a little boy, he set me straight on that. Even back then, we're talking about in the 1960s. Okay, he said, the police are the politicians' army. They're not here for us. So even clear back then, and my grandfather was a former Marine, so and an insurance inspector. So he knew the shenanigans that would go on, and he's the one that told me. He said, "Don't ever think that the police are here for our benefit." He goes, "They'll do something for the public every now and then because they want to keep the image up." But he goes, "They are the private army for the politicians. That's what the police are for."
Mm-hmm. And you could say that the politicians are the primary army for the elites, the billionaires
right.
who run the world behind the scenes.
Right. They're their, what do they call them? They're lapdogs.
Yeah. Kind of like middle managers, really.
Middle managers. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
And all of them are communists.
Mm-hmm. It's
all
amazing
communists.
That you got a so-called president who was, can't even, I mean, he's got dementia. I mean, he can hardly put together a sentence.
Joe Biden is a distraction. He's not running the country. Nobody in Washington or wherever these assholes are holed up, they're not running the country any longer. This is the communist takeover. So that's all just a big distraction to make you think you still have a government. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
We lost that. With this last rigged election, that whole fiasco, the whole Donald Trump being the white knight, that was all a staged event to get the patriots to sit on their ass, put their guns away, and to think that they had a savior in the form of a government person, because that's all it was. It was a front. It's a Judas, not a Judas goat, but a Trojan horse. I mean, really,
yeah.
If you look at the way it's turned out, that's exactly what it was. And we feared that that might be the case. Because I remember when Trump first started running, because we all said, Trump's an asshole. He's an egotistical asshole, billionaire. How does he have anything in common with you and me? But they portrayed him as, oh, well, that was just a show. You know, he's really patriotic. He's really this and that. Really? He surrounds himself in Jewish circles with Jewish billionaires. His daughter's married to a Lubavitch frickin' ultra-Zionist, and his children learn to speak Yiddish before anything else. So, what? And he's going to bring down this Zionist system? Yeah, come on. Come on.
In fact, he appointed more Jews.
He appointed more, right. I still remember when he sent Elliot Abrams to Venezuela as the diplomat, and the guy is a bumbling idiot and hated typical Jew, and yet Trump made him the ambassador to Venezuela. That's like a slap in the face to
yeah.
the people of Venezuela, okay? So, again, Trump is either one of two things. Trump is a traitor and part of this takedown, or he's a complete retard. Now, you can pick whichever one you want as to why he does what he does, but he's either a complete retard or he's part of it, because that's the only yeah. explanation you can have. So either way, though, he's not good for us. I'm sorry if that offends people, but he's not going to save the day. He's part of it. He's part of the show to put you to sleep as the takedown continues. Only
if he really could change something, he would have never been elected president.
That's right.
Really,
they're not gonna allow anybody to hold that office that's gonna make a difference. That's not going to happen. That's why people have to finally come to the realization that this will be a revolution 2.0 scenario. That is the only way you're going to unseat these communists. Unless somebody can show me in history where the communists picked up their briefcases, went home, and never came back in history. Somebody's got to tell me where they did that.
However, in his defense, or in any president's defense, their power is, they don't have that much power, really. The president doesn't. They can't.
Well,
they're not.
He lost me when he let Fauci talk for as long as he did, and then he came out in favor of the vaccines. That's
yep,
all
that's
I had to hear.
That was my turning point, too, is when he said, I remember him saying it, they got to get their shots. They got to get their shots. You remember when he was on TV saying that?
Also, when he says, we got to get the guns and worry about due process later. That's not my president.
No.
Okay. It's all a show. Why is it so hard for people to understand? It's a show. It's a dog and pony show. And George Carlin said it best. It's a great big game, and it's a big club that runs it, and you ain't in it. You and I are not part of the club. The club is run for the benefit of the club members, and we're not in it. We're just pawns. We do the dying, the fighting, the bleeding, the crying, and the paying. But we're not the beneficiaries. It was never intended for us to be the beneficiaries. Huh?
I said that's sad but true. That's the truth.
Yeah. The only time we're the beneficiaries is when you do it God's way. And that's the beauty of it. That's why he said, I came to set the captive free. Isn't that what he said? I came to set the captive free. I give you living waters. Not bullshit. Living waters. I can set you free.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people would rather be slaves to Pharaoh and the beast than to be free and responsible people under God's law. Really, that's what it boils down to. They'd rather be taken care of and allowed to be irresponsible and give up what freedoms that God gave them because they don't want to have to work and they don't want to have to be responsible for themselves.
Yeah, it's no different today than when he tried to, when he led our people out of Egypt, and they didn't, they whined and moaned, and, you know, went around, stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, going around in circles, because they were never happy, because they wanted to all go back to Egypt. They thought Moses had led them out there to die.
Right, exactly, because they had to eat manna.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Let's see. Manna was 100% organic, non-GMO, had every vitamin and mineral your body needs, and was probably pretty tasty, but because it wasn't all the delicacies of Egypt, they bitched and moaned. I mean, can you imagine that? I can picture people saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So... Well, we're in a fix, and we need to stay on our toes, that's for sure. And certainly, I keep telling people, you better be right with the Father, and you better stay prayed up at this point.
Yep.
If you're ever down this way, you better stop in for a visit.
Where are you? Where? What part of Florida?
I'm down at the tip, down at the bottom.
That's right. You're still way down there, aren't you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. From where you're at, it's about 6 hours.
yeah, you're way down there.
You don't realize how long Florida is until you drive from the Georgia border all the way down below Miami.
Yeah.
That's a long drive.
It is. I have never even been down to the Keys before. Lived in Georgia my whole life, and never visited the Keys, but I guess it's a pretty area down there. I've just never been there.
It's all being turned into concrete jungle right now. They're buying up all the farmland down here. There was still quite a bit of farmland in the Redlands and stuff like that to the west of Miami, between Miami and the Everglades. A lot of farmland, a lot of nurseries, and they're all being bought up by the big developers now. They're going to turn it into one. Miami's basically going to cover the whole southern tip of Florida pretty soon. Miami and its suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be one great big mass of, like Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
Mass of humanity. So the beauty that was here is quickly being bought up by the men with small hats that have the money to develop it. And they're putting in housing for these low-cost, non-white immigrants that are going to do all our work once the white man's mm-hmm. displaced. That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about this? You may have done a show on this already. I haven't heard you in a long time, but what do you think about this vaccine being linked to transhumanism and 5G. Have you covered that yet on any of your shows?
We haven't talked a whole lot about it, but I send out a lot of information and post a lot of it on the website. It is very possible. There are some weird things going on. I know a lot of people that have had friends that have had personality changes. I myself have felt like something's bombarding me here for a while. And I don't have any of that stuff in my body that I know of, unless they slipped it into some of the food or whatever. But there are some very, very weird and strange things going on. And again, I don't trust anything the military, the government, or the medical profession, anything that they're doing today. I wouldn't trust any of it. We're being experimented on all the time.
Yep.
And they have given lectures bragging about the fact that they can manipulate behavior, thoughts, and Trump himself was pushing for not only 5G, but 6G. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very little talk about 6G, but Trump was talking about it.
Mm.
So
have
he's on board with
videos?
It.
Have you seen the videos of some of these people who have gotten the shot, and they're like their arm glows?
I've heard of that, but I haven't seen any of it. No, I don't know if any of that's true or not. It's possible. I don't have any personal info on it. I just know you don't put it in your body. That's all I know.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. For one, there's no benefit. None.
There's no guarantee you're still not going to get COVID.
Well, they tell you that. They
yeah.
tell you that. You could still get it. You still have to wear a mask. You still have to social distance. You still have to do all the stupid ass things that we're telling you to do. Well, then why would you put it in?
Yep.
So again, I just tell people you're crazy if you put that shit in your body. I'm sorry, but you are 100% batshit crazy to put
yep.
an untested serum produced by the lowest intellect, highest criminal organizations on earth, which is your government, the medical mafia, and the pharmaceuticals. They're all criminal psychopaths. Why would you put anything they come out with in your body? I don't get it. I'm to the point where I will not go to a doctor's office. I haven't even been to a dentist or an eye doctor in years. I won't even go to them right now. I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust them. The whole medical mafia in this country, I've lost all respect for all of them. And I got a lot of relatives that are doctors, nurses, physicians, PAs, whatever they call them, all kinds. The only people I associate with at all are naturopathic people. That's it. And I've told the family, let me die. If something happens, let me die. Do not take me to a hospital. I don't want to go. I'd rather
die.
You know these
hospitals for getting $13,000 for each positive COVID diagnosis, and then another $39,000 for each one of those patients that they put on a ventilator. That's
right.
A hell of a lot of financial incentive to lie. And
exactly.
That should be a huge red flag for anybody who believes this COVID nonsense. You know?
Exactly.
And I had COVID. They made me go get tested last year, last October. I had it. It's just like the flu. I mean, I wouldn't want to have it again, but it lasted for me about 10 days, and then that's it. I mean, I've never had a vaccine or anything, but I don't know what the fear over it is. You know, they even admit the survival rate is 99%. You know, if I was in Las Vegas and I was told I had a 99% chance of winning, I'd put everything I had on the table. I'd bet everything I had. I'd bet the house. Those are pretty good odds.
It's people that watch television. It's all fear porn through the media. Okay? That just shows you who the weak-willed, weak-minded people are that can be manipulated through something as simple as a criminal like Fauci saying something on a television.
Mm-hmm.
Only people that have either low IQs or absolutely no innate ability to reason would believe anything that asshole says. I mean, come on, really. I wouldn't buy a used car from that guy.
I don't even think he's a real doctor. Hmm? Just another bureaucrat.
He's not. He's more of a bureaucrat. That's right. The doctor is just the title.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, degrees don't mean anything anymore anyway. They haven't meant anything for decades, to be honest.
That's true. Yeah.
Of the degrees really don't mean anything. What's that?
Said you learn a lot more on the job than you do in school anyway.
Well, even my own brother, who's got a master's degree in electrical engineering, so he's got a Bachelor of Science and a master's, and he went for something else. He also became a Six Sigma black belt instructor in quality control, and he'll tell you he learned everything he needed to do his job on the job. College didn't prepare him at all. So, again, it's nice to have it. I give people credit that followed through. I went 1 year to engineering school, and then I went in the military because I was going to get drafted. And no way did I want to get drafted. So I went in the military and picked my own career under the Guaranteed Career Placement program. So timing kept me from finishing, but I don't know that I would have finished anyway because, to be honest, I hated college. I may have taken on too much because I was playing football and it was an engineering curriculum, which was pretty tough. And I was in the United States Army ROTC program at the same time, all at the same time, plus commuting from South Jersey into Philadelphia. So doing all that was a bit much, but mostly I just hated it. I didn't think what they were teaching was worth anything. And actually, I was kind of glad that my draft number was low and it gave me an excuse to quit and go in the military and go into electronics training because it made a hell of a lot more sense because it's all based on teaching you something you need to know versus a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like calculus. What good is calculus?
Yeah.
It's no good for anything. I'm sorry. Unless you're a research scientist or a research engineer in an R&D department, what the hell do you need calculus for? Especially now with computers, but even back then with slide rules. What was I going to do with calculus? And for years, I asked all kinds of engineering students, including my brother and my father, how much calculus did you use on the job after you got out of school? How many times did you actually use what they made you learn in college? And I have yet to find one that actually used it. Now, I'm talking about in my experience of all the people I talked to, not one ever used the calculus that he had to go to school for. So why? Why are we teaching it if you don't need it? Well, it rounds you out.
They want to make you have to take a bunch of extra classes so they make more money.
Well, you got all those really tenured professors and they have to have jobs.
That too, yeah.
it's all a scam.
It is. Everything today.
I believe in higher education. I believe in higher education, but I don't believe in universities and colleges. Not anymore. Not anymore. They may have started out okay, but not anymore. They lost their purpose in life a long time ago because they became political. Because also, I'm going to tell you, a lot of these minorities walking around with degrees, are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a joke.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
They didn't earn those degrees, and you know it. I know it. So, sorry. Now, there's a handful that did. There's a handful that actually are good doctors or engineers, whatever. But it's a handful, just a handful. Rest of them, forget it.
Yeah, a very small handful at that.
And there's a lot of whites in that category too. Don't think I know that. There's a lot of whites that don't deserve the degrees they got either. I worked with them. Mm-hmm. I know. We had a term for them in the shop, and that was educated idiots, because that's exactly what they were. And they came out to the jobs thinking that we should give them respect just because they had a college degree. And I used to talk, yeah. I was a shop steward for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And I used to tell them, I said, these guys out here have earned their journeyman's card. Took them 4.5 years of apprenticeship to get it. I said, and once you become a journeyman, you're just now able to go out and earn the respect. We don't get respect because we became journeymen. Why would you get respect just because you got a degree? You got to show us you know what the hell you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That piece of paper doesn't mean a damn thing. Just like my journeyman's card doesn't mean a damn thing about my ability as a instrumentation technician. All right? It's what I did with it after I got it. Was I a good tech or not? Did I do a good job or not? Just having mm-hmm. the card doesn't mean anything. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah, we digress, I probably need to get off of here. But thanks for having me on. And I want to start listening to you some more. And so send out those emails when you're going to be on. Or maybe I just don't check my email enough.
All right. I'll try to do a better job.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, you know, I do want to listen to you some more. So,
all right, buddy.
All right.
Take care, bud. God bless.
All right. God bless. Talk to you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks a lot. And that was Dan from Georgia, but now Dan from Georgia is actually from Florida. So another good guy down here in the state of Florida. Sunshine State, lots of vitamin D. To Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We just pray that the truths that we talk about would go out to those that are meant to hear it. We ask for forgiveness for any of our stumblings and shortcomings. We ask that you'd give us the Holy Spirit to minister unto us. Give us the courage to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Also help us to stand against the wiles of the devil, the Satans, the adversaries that walk amongst us. And give us a clear vision on what we should do. And we pray for your coming to be very, very soon. Put an end to this nonsense. And pray that our people would finally get their common sense back. And their intestinal fortitude and courage to stand and do the right thing. Because it is the right thing. And not because it just puts money in their pocket. We've let you down in a lot of ways, Father. There's no doubt about that. We repent of what our ancestors have done, the things that they've set us up with that have failed and have caused us to become idol worshipers and blasphemers. And we just ask that you would wash us anew with the blood of the Lamb, turn us into new creatures in you, and turn us away from Babylon. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.